The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks very much for joining us on this cold, snowy Monday here in upstate New York. Yes, it is soccer season. As you may have heard during the day, we will have a major announcement in just a few moments that involves both Rochester and U.S. soccer. We'll also be previewing Friday's big World Cup qualifying matches in CONCACAF, including the U.S. against Costa Rica, and also the matches in Europe with Michael Lewis and Dick Howard joining us as always. Before we introduce our special guests tonight, let's bring in our host, Lancers Wall of Famer Joe Sirianni.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer Kick in the Grass. Here we are in the snow, but last year was much warmer than this year. Maybe so. We got a lot of things that we're going to announce tonight, and we have a good show. So please stay with us and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Joe. And joining us here in studio, actually both of Joe and I are in studio tonight down here in beautiful Lakeville, New York at WYSL. So thanks for Bob D'Angelo, our engineer, for hosting us tonight. Also joining us in the studio, a soccer aficionado, a soccer go-getter himself, Al Schneider joins us. How you doing, Al?
Good, Andrew. How you doing, Joe? Yep.
Doing great.
Good to be here.
And joining us on the phone, the man without whom there would not be soccer in Rochester or this show as well, the former owner of the NASL Rochester Lancers, Charlie Schiano, joins us on the phone. Charlie, how are you tonight?
Very good. Very good, Andy. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing?
Good. Hi, Al.
And let me tell you, there is no one that knows you better than I, so I can only say that we are proud that you're on the show tonight, and we are proud that one of your dreams may become a reality. Tell us about it.
Well, hold on a second here. Wait a minute. We want to give this the proper introduction. So here is what you've been waiting for. The major announcement for the Rochester soccer community and U.S. soccer is coming up right after this quick break here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The best just got better. The three-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash will be starting their first season in the NWSL in just a few weeks. The Flash will be led by the current FIFA Women's Player of the Year, Rochester's Abby Wambach, and two-time Olympic gold medalist Carly Lloyd. Your first chance to see the 2013 Flash at Salem Stadium is Sunday, April 7th at 12 noon in a friendly match against the defending NCAA champion North Carolina Tar Heels. Western New York Flash season ticket holders and Flex 11 ticket holders will have free admission to the match. General admission tickets can be purchased for $10 by calling 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Big with Salins. Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Your first chance to see the 2013 Rochester Rhinos is this week at Salem Stadium. The Rhinos kick off their preseason Thursday evening at 7:30 against Kinesis College, and on Sunday, USL Pro League rival the Pittsburgh Riverhounds come to town for a 3 p.m. afternoon contest. Both matches are free and open to the public. Rhinos season tickets, flex packs, and Rhinos parking passes are now on sale and can be purchased by calling the Rhinos office at 454-KICK or by visiting the Rhinos website at www.rhinosoccer.com. Don't miss out on all the exciting action. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti live at WYSL tonight with our host Joe Sirianni. Here in the studio also is Al Schneider. And on the phone with us, the one and only Charlie Schiano, the former owner of the Rochester NASL Lancers. Well, we teased the announcement. So, Charlie, give us the announcement. What is going on that could have this big effect on Rochester soccer and involves U.S. soccer as well?
We have been talking, Al and I and a few others, about a concept that we've had ever since the Soccer Hall of Fame in Oneonta was shut down for economic reasons. And it seemed to us that a good idea would be to create a spot here in Rochester to create and build a U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, especially since there is no Hall of Fame now in for soccer in the United States. And the concept would be that we have now the Thruway Hall of Fame. We have in Cooperstown, on the Thruway, New York State Thruway, the Baseball Hall of Fame. We have in Canastota, the Boxing Hall of Fame. What would be more appropriate than to have here in Rochester, New York, in Monroe County, the USA Soccer Hall of Fame? Let me give you a little background. The reason that Oneonta was chosen as the soccer initial location, geographic location for the Soccer Hall of Fame was because many years ago at a meeting of the United States then Soccer Football Association, that's what it was called at the time, the issue came up and the representatives from Oneonta kept the debate going until the early morning hours, 2 or 3 o'clock, and most of the delegates went to bed. So when they went to bed, they introduced a resolution. They went to sleep, introduced a resolution establishing, and they got it passed with just enough votes, they got it passed that the Soccer Hall of Fame would be located in Oneonta, New York. Now, talk about the most inappropriate place to place it. There's no airport. There are no rail lines going into Oneonta at the time. Very difficult to get a bus to go there. You had to, you know, rent a car if you're coming from New York City or hire a limousine to get there. It was the worst place in the world to have a Hall of Fame. Now, given the fact that soccer has, in this nation, has a long history. It started with the immigrants, the Irish and the Scotsmen and the Germans and the Italians. They formed their soccer clubs. And you all know about, even here in Rochester, the Rangers, a German-American soccer club, which is celebrating this year its 100th anniversary. So what better place, given the tradition of the Italian-American Sports Club winning the National Amateur Cup in the 60s, the Lancers winning the championship of the North American Soccer League in 1970, going and winning the International Cup in 71, going to represent the United States in Guatemala in the conference meetings in Guatemala with eight other national champions, international champions. So this would be a most appropriate place. And I think it's critical to consider this because it would be an economic stimulus. It would be good for the community, especially if it's done right. If it's done right in a beautiful building and going back and establishing the history of soccer throughout the United States and Western the Western Hemisphere here. And you could, you know, Pelé has played here. Abby Wambach's going to be playing here. You have the Rhinos continue the tradition. The Flash with Abby Wambach. What a consortium of power you could place, put together, to approach the governor and our county executive and the mayor and say, this is where the United States Soccer Hall of Fame should be established. It is just magnificent because we have the airport, we have the railroad, we have the buses coming in here, and we can really establish a great site, which would be an economic benefit to the community, a benefit to and recognize the achievements of soccer in this region and throughout the United States. And, you know, I think now is the time is right, Abby being here, the Rhino is being successful, and just the Lancers, put it all together. It's, I think, a win-win situation.
Well, it certainly sounds like a great proposal, Charlie, but let's bring in now a gentleman whose life is the Soccer Hall of Fame and somebody who is the man in charge, the chairman of the board of the United States Soccer Hall of Fame. Hank Steinbrecher joins us, and Hank's appearance is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, over 25 locations in the Rochester area. One phone number, 234-5555, or go to salvatores.com. Hank, thanks very much for joining us here on our show this evening. How are you?
I'm very well, but I want a slice of that pizza.
I'll talk to Soccer Sam and make sure to get a whole one for you.
But hey Hank, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well.
You also got red card Joe Sirianni here.
How are you, sir?
We have a lot of colorful characters here in Rochester.
Well, that's a bit of infamy.
Well, Hank, Charlie, Shiano, hello and how are you?
Good, Charlie. How are you doing?
Good, fine.
Great.
Well, Hank, obviously, Charlie talked a little about how the Soccer Hall of Fame was originally set in Oneonta, why it was there. Tell us about what happened with the Hall of Fame. For those people who don't know, why the Hall of Fame is now in so-called, quote-unquote, in storage at this point.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of thoughts. One is that not only Rochester, but the United States Soccer Federation is going through their 100th anniversary. It's the centennial of all of U.S. soccer, which is a very exciting thing and a very exciting year for us. I applaud you all for your efforts in Rochester to bring this to fruition. The Hall of Fame was located in Oneonta, and it was heavily underwritten by United States Soccer Federation Foundation with the proceeds that we made from the 94 World Cup. But it became very, very clear that it was unsustainable. It started out in a little house. I visited there in the early days. And then we had a magnificent building with a soccer ball coming out of it, had lots and lots and lots of memorabilia there. But it was unsustainable. Your traffic flow was less than 20,000 a year. Your operating costs were somewhere around $1 million a year. So it just didn't make any sense. I'll also stress that almost every Hall of Fame is going through the same financial crisis right now in this downturned economy. Location was very important. It was very difficult. And as a Hall of Famer myself, just getting there every year was an arduous task. Fly into Albany, rent a car, drive a couple of hours, have the Hall of Fame ceremonies, drive back to Albany. So it was an arduous task, and I'm sure that many others have felt that. So right now, we've closed the doors. And until we understand exactly what we want to do in terms of a domicile. Now, I applaud your efforts, as I said, but I hope they all are based on reality. Pardon me. And the reality is that there are a number of cities that would bid, have called me to bid, on the prospect of hosting the Hall of Fame. They range from Springfield, Massachusetts, to Washington, D.C., to New York City, to Dallas, to L.A., and also with some of the MLS clubs thinking, well, wouldn't it be nice if we built a new stadium and had the Hall of Fame with us? So right now we are open to suggestions. I believe that the decision will not come immediately. It will probably not come for another 2 to 3 years. What we're doing now is trying to have a virtual Hall of Fame where you can get on this through the web. But there's nothing like a tour through the history of soccer. And, you know, the history of soccer is as rich and as vibrant as any sports organization in the country.
Absolutely. And I went to see the Hall of Fame when it was in Oneonta, and it was in the middle of nowhere, but it was worth everything. When I saw the Rochester Lancers memorabilia in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, it gave me a sense of pride to know that, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and the Lancers were a huge part of soccer in this country. If it wasn't for Charlie and Pat Denolfo and Joe Robbie moving the Washington Darts and the Lancers into the NESL, we may never have even seen Pelé and Beckenbauer and Kinalia, God rest his soul.
Listen, I'm old enough to remember that this was a storied and great franchise. And I also remember the crowds that you were attracting. So hats off to you, and you do deserve to feel quite proud about it.
Al, what do you have to say?
The question that we ask, and perhaps Charlie can chime into this, what is the next step then as a city that needs to be taken in order to bring this to a point that we become contenders? And what is the criteria?
The next stage is to identify an RFP process.
We'll have
a committee meeting in June where we'll discuss this with the staff and leadership of U.S. Soccer. There's very little appetite for putting in $1 million a year in a non-sustainable atmosphere. But we'll then look at putting this out to an RFP, and certainly any organization, any group of people that have contacted us will get that RFP as quickly as possible.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know,
just remember, we may be a couple of years away.
Charlie, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think that they have a definite plan, and I think that they're being very careful and selective, and I think it's wise. I think the plan that Hank has outlined is the way to do it. And frankly, we need some time to put together the governor and the county executive and the mayor. This is just a group of interested people who have a history in soccer, who thinks that Rochester is the natural place for it to be because it's kind of unique, and we have all the transportation modalities that we did not have in Oneonta. And I think that our concept is very good, especially with the other Hall of Fames in the near vicinity on the thruway, and I think something the governor might want to jump into. And I understand what Hank says, that they're not willing to put $1 million a year into sustaining something that can't produce income in order to meet its basic operational needs. So I think that we have to put our heads together. And what I would suggest to people who are listening, who are interested in joining us in this venture, in persuading our government entities and our different organizations, we have some very strong soccer organizations throughout Western New York State. and many organizations that would be willing to step up and help us fund this and get it off the ground and make sure it's operationally be able to sustain itself. I think that's one of the things that U.S. soccer is looking for.
You would also have a very salient argument. The Hall of Fame will ultimately have to wrestle with, do we want to go to New York City and be the low man on the totem pole?
Absolutely.
Or do we want to go to a city like Rochester, where we're one of the leaders of the community?
Yep.
So that ultimately be one of the debates that we have.
It certainly is going to be very interesting, Hank, as we go along in the process. And again, you know, this is something for all of the fans of soccer listening here in Rochester and upstate New York. This is something that would be unprecedented for our city to have a Hall of Fame right here in Rochester. I mean, the closest Hall of Fame, I believe, would be the Women's Hall of Fame out in Seneca Falls, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, this is a sports Hall of Fame.
I forgot about the Women's Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But, well, by the way,
we're Sports Hall of Fame. But it's a natural.
And the National Toy Hall of Fame actually is in Rochester, so I don't want to forget about the got people over at Strong. They do a great job. But
yeah, they do. Yeah.
Hank, I want to ask you something. We've brought up on our show a few times in the past, and maybe you can give us some light of what the process is. You know, there's many different people in the Hall of Fame that have made tremendous contributions to U.S. soccer. But there's one name that always floats around in our community as to why this person isn't in the Hall of Fame. And I'm talking about Carlos Medidieri, the gentleman who was the only man to ever be named NASL MVP twice and to lead the league in scoring in those same 2 years. And he also played for the U.S. national team. I know he would be a veteran or one of the veterans' committee picks or something like that.
A builder, they're called.
Builder, right. So how, is he completely... Is there any way that he can be reintroduced? I know he was on the ballot for a while, but it's just something that, you know, we always wonder because he has a singular achievement in U.S. soccer that will never be equaled by anybody else.
If he was on the ballot for 5 years, you're generally removed from the ballot and ballot consideration. However, in order to get on the ballot, you have to be fully vetted by there's a small committee within the Hall of Fame committee that are historians in soccer that do a complete vetting of the eligibility requirements. And I would suggest that you could either write me or to U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame and suggest this, that he be considered again and that he be put back up on the ballot. But he would have to be vetted all over again, and he would fall into the veterans category.
Another question that I may have, Hank, and maybe, you know, I don't know whether it's the appropriate question to ask, but seeing how we
that
got
never
you,
stops you, Joe.
Seeing how we got you, and now I'm going to ask you. You know, a little while ago we talked about, you know, soccer, United States soccer and North American Soccer League, going back to the 60s when the North American Soccer League almost failed, And due to the fact that the Rochester and Washington stepped in, there was those gentlemen that came around, and they were able to save the league. And Rochester was one of those cities that came up and saved the league. So I don't see anything being, you know, had been for them at that time. I don't know the soccer will be where it is today, because the North American Soccer League really, you know, it fell, but then it revived itself, and that's it led to the MLS and what we know today to be a profitable league. Why is that? I cannot ask you that question because it's inappropriate. Why is that? It's so limited. The people that are on the committee are so limited in their selection. I mean, what is the history?
Well, I'm not
sure
that they're
concept?
Limited. I'm not sure that they're limited, and I'm not sure that they're discriminatory. Let me speak for myself. I was the Secretary General of U.S. Soccer for a 10-year period of time. And during that period of time, the MLS was created. And as the MLS was created, we studied extensively the lessons learned through the NPA, through the league. There were great lessons. In fact, remember that a lot of our team in 94 watched all of the games, whether it be Rochester, whether it be New York. They grew up in the shadows of those stadiums. We had 78,000 people across the board with the league. It was a very vibrant league, but it too fell on hard times. Overexpansion, and you had one club who just outspent everyone. Talk about FIFA's fair play in commerce. And that drove the league down. But you're right, Rochester did stand tall, along with a couple of other franchises in the NASL, and saved that league. Now we're now into 17th year of the MLS. So I guess to answer your question, I don't think there's any discrimination against the league, but really thanks for the league. We certainly wouldn't be where we are today. And even though we take pride in what's happened, I'm here to tell you I lived in that generation that was just so thankful for the league. It's all we had, and it was a great league. Yeah. So I don't know if there's a simple answer as to why more and more of the owners, I mean, Lee Stern has been inducted, but I don't know why more and more of the owners have not been up for consideration.
Well, Charlie, have you got anything to comment on
No,
this?
I have no comments because I was involved. You know, it was an exciting time for us, Hank, and ladies and gentlemen who are listening, because at the time that Lamar Hunt approached me, I was president of the American Soccer League, and we were 10, 12 teams strong, and they only had four left, and Lamar flew up to Rochester, and we had a meeting, and Washington already said, whatever Charlie does with the Lancers, we're going to go with Charlie if he stays on as president or we go. And really it was a very tough decision for us to make because we were moving into a higher echelon, higher budgets. And the American Soccer League was a pretty strong league. I mean, the Philadelphia Ukrainian Nationals, the New York Inter, we had some great teams in the old American Soccer League, but that was a regional league, and they were adverse to moving ahead in terms of radio and TV, and, you know, we were on the cutting edge. In 1970, we put the championship North American Soccer League game on educational television on Channel 21 just so we'd have it. We were the first NASL team to broadcast our games live, and we did television based on our own. So we did kind of crazy things, and we were entrepreneurship, but Those were great times because Warner jumps in, and of course they overspent, and they brought us Belay, and there was the other odd end to it that Hank has mentioned. But without Warner, we never would have had Belay and Beckenbauer and the great players, the great international sports fans. So, and it just got Canalia, all those guys. So, you know, I always respect what Warner did and the Cosmos did, and I think that we should have had more self-restraint within the league itself, within the club members, not to start spending crazily. But that's only in retrospect. But Hank, listen, it's been great talking to you, all you guys, and I want you to know that Rochester is going to try and get your format straightened out, and hopefully we'll have a very positive plan.
I know the Hall of Fame is very important, but the big question is, will we qualify?
Pardon?
Will we qualify for World Cup? That's the bigger question.
That's right, and we're going to be talking about that next in our next segment with Michael Lewis, who certainly has gone through from the early days with the Lancers all the way to the one of the top soccer writers in the United States. But
say, can I ask
you a quick question?
Sure.
It's about a World Cup. What is the U.S.'s soccer's interest? Anything? Any indications for a future World Cup coming back to the U.S.?
You know, I think the appetite has been dampened with the loss of Qatar to Qatar. It is a phenomenally expensive venture, and quite personally, I think FIFA has to clean their house before, I have to speak for myself, before I'd ever consider getting back in the bidding process. There are just far too many questions.
I totally agree with you, Hank. And before we let you go, one last thing. This year's U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame inductees, there's many, many names on the list. When will we know the official people who will be inducted this year?
Mid-April.
Okay, we'll be definitely...
And the induction will be in June at the 100th anniversary game between the United States and Germany.
You just broke something, because that's the first I've heard of an actual announcement of the game itself.
Well, so, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Well, no, you should have. We wanted to break news on our show tonight.
That's what we're about.
Because actually, when we talked to Michael last week, he didn't know who the teams were. So the U.S. is going to be hosting.
All right, let me couch it then.
Well, so awesome. Basically, we're assuming here that the U.S. is going to host Germany for the 100th anniversary celebration. Has there been a potential venue?
Tentatively.
Has there been a tentative venue set for that match?
Yes, but I'm not at liberty to say.
Somewhere in the United States, I hope.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Hank, we really appreciate you being on the show tonight. Thank you so much for all your insight on the U.S. soccer and the Hall of Fame. And we'll certainly be talking to you down the road as this process keeps going. And we wish you all the best and all of the people working with the Hall of Fame the best. And we'll be talking to you again real soon.
And thank you,
Charlie. Thank you. And on behalf of the Hall of Fame, thank you for your enthusiasm.
And you'll receive our bit.
Yeah, Joe's writing it up right now on the back of a napkin.
Thanks, Hank.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Hank. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charlie.
Good show. Yep. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Charlie Schiano and also, there you go, and Hank Steinbrecher and Al Schneider here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Al, stick around. We can talk some more soccer with Michael Lewis. Coming up next, we'll be previewing the U.S. national team against Costa Rica, the big match this Friday, and also the other CONCACAF qualifying matches. Michael Lewis up next on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
This is Dave Sarek, and I listen to Soccer as a Kick in the Grass on WYSL with Joe, my good friend.
Local sports leader.
You're listening to WYSL1040.com on the web.
FM 92.1
and
1040
WYSL Avon Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Lancers would like to thank all of their fans for backing and cheering on the team during this past regular season. Because of all your support, the Lancers led the MISL in attendance this season. Season tickets for the 2013-2014 campaign are now on sale, with all seats in the house priced at $130 each. Get your tickets through RochesterLancers.com or call 872-KICK. The Lancers will be back for more exciting indoor soccer action this coming fall.
Score big with Salins! Salins is proud to call Western New York home for over 140 years. Our premium quality deli meats and hot dogs are hometown favorites. Score big with your family and friends. Enjoy Salins' delicious real smokehouse ham or Salins' mouth-watering real turkey or chicken breast. Ask for Salins deli meats at your favorite meat or food store. The taste that beats them all. Salins.
Your family's growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy an existing house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home built to suit your style and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber homes are in communities with excellent schools, parks, and all the conveniences your family needs. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit a Faber Homes model today at Berkshire Park in Henrietta or at Regency Park in Greece. Give Faber Homes a call today. 247-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for homes starting at $129,900. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's The Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
The best just got better. The 3-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash will be starting their first season in the NWSL in just a few weeks. The Flash will be led by the current FIFA Women's Player of the Year, Rochester's Abby Wambach, and two-time Olympic gold medalist Carly Lloyd. Your first chance to see the 2013 Flash at Salem Stadium is Sunday, April 7th at 12 noon in a friendly match against the defending NCAA champion North Carolina Tar Heels. Western New York Flash season ticket holders and Flex 11 ticket holders will have free admission to the match. General admission tickets can be purchased for $10 by calling 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
And our U.S. Soccer Domestic Report with Michael Lewis is brought to you by Salins, premium meat quality meat products since 1869. Get them at your favorite local food store. Michael, how you doing? Hopefully you're in a nice warm place after this past Saturday at Red Bull Arena.
More or less, unfortunately, I'm battling a bad cold. Pardon my raspy voice, or if I cough during the interview, I'll try not to keep my sentences simple as possible.
You got any water with you? Take a swallow of water.
Well, Mike, we have Al Schneider, our special guest here. We just talked about the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, and that Rochester is going to be putting in a proposal to have the Hall of Fame located here. And I'm sure that's something you'd be very excited to have happen.
Hey, Michael Lewis, how are you?
Very good. How are you? I think it's a great idea, given the history of the sport in the city. Of course, I'm biased, having lived there for 10 years, covered soccer teams there for almost that long a time. I'm just wondering, has anyone talked about where they'd like to put the Hall of Fame? Would it be next to the stadium? Would it be in the downtown area, somewhere else?
I think that's still under consideration at this time. I think we're still in the initial process, but I know that County Executive Maggie Brooks, someone Charlie wants to speak to, Charlie Schiano, and that's going to be part of the request for proposal that will be put in for the Hall of Fame. So nothing definite yet.
Well, beyond from what I said, it was a pity back in 2010 when the Soccer Hall of Fame was forced to shut down, and not having something like that for so many different reasons, to have it back up again anywhere. And, of course, Rochester would be a great city choice for it, but just to have it back anywhere so people could learn about the history of the game. And I'll tell you, I need it for some research purposes. That's for my selfish ends, but there should be a Soccer Hall of Fame somewhere in this country.
That's right, and that would give you a chance to come up to Rochester more often, too.
Exactly.
Well, Michael, this Friday, it's just so huge, this match over in Colorado, the U.S. against Costa Rica, and Miriam Klinsmann had a press conference today. I wasn't able to listen, so could you give us some insight of what the coach of the national team said about this upcoming match against Costa Rica?
Well, if you take a look at the roster, there are a lot of players who are injured or not available to play. There are 8 or 9 players who are not going to be able to suit up for the USA. The thing is, Klinsmann said the Costa Rica game is a must-win game. No doubt about it. The U.S. cannot afford to get a point at home. They need 3 points, given that they lost their hexagonal opener in Honduras. And they've got a tough match, obviously, coming up a week from tomorrow in Mexico City. And they just cannot afford to squander 3 points. I'm not saying that they're going to lose in Mexico City, but very few teams walk out of Azteca Stadium with 1 point, let alone 3. So it's all about accruing points at home and stealing a few on the road. I'm not convinced this team that has been put together can do it. I think they're missing too many impact players and experienced players to even pull off a victory against Costa Rica at home. I'm not what you call a chicken little. I'm more middle of the road, but without a Landon Donovan, without an experienced defensive central defender such as Carlos Bocanegra, these are impact players. Add Tim Howard, that's going to hurt, but I think Brad Guzan is a solid goalkeeper. But I just think it's going to be a very, very difficult task for the U.S. I'm not going to say impossible, but I'm more worried about the Costa Rica game than the Mexico match right now.
Well, I guess it's just one game at a time. And we asked Hank Steinbrecher on the phone a little while ago, and he mentioned something of the importance of the national team doing well, because there are so many things that depend on it. So based upon what you said, I would have to assume that you don't think that the United States team will qualify.
I didn't say that. I think they're going to wind up chasing the game if they don't get those 3 points against Costa Rica. The team that they put together, the six defenders that they listed, have played a total of 12 World Cup qualifying games, and two players have accumulated 11 of them. That doesn't, when they get on the field, that's all that really matters. But, you know, is there leadership in the back when Costa Rica comes down the field? I mean, Costa Rica, to me, is the out of the six teams remaining in the hexagonal, is either number five or number six, but they have three superb attacking players that are game changers: Brian Ruiz, Joel Campbell, and Alvaro Saborio, who also plays in for Real Salt Lake. And you're going to need some superb performances by the back line and the midfield to stop them. I'm just concerned, maybe worried as well too, about this game. I think if the U.S. can get those 3 points, they'll be in a much better position to qualify. And granted, this is a 10-game season. This is only game number two, with game number three 4 days later. But I'm, like I said, concerned on to the point of being worried.
Go ahead, Al.
Now, Michael, I was just curious, on your personal assessment, what do you think? There was a lot of controversy about Jurgen Klinsmann being appointed coach, the new U.S. coach. There were accolades, and there were also those who were against it. What is your personal thoughts on Jurgen's accomplishments so far with the U.S. team?
I expected him to change things. We're coming up to almost 2 years. We're up to maybe a year and a half right now of him being in charge, and I really haven't seen his quote-unquote system making an impact yet, per se. There's no doubt that they've gotten results in Italy, in Russia, and in Mexico, and that's great, but those are for friendly. Qualifying is what counts. It's what it's all about. And the team didn't look that great during qualifying the last time. We went down to the final game in the semifinals, and, we struggled against Antigua at home. We stole a point in Guatemala, but against Jamaica, who we generally had good success with getting at least a point out of the office after scoring 30-some-odd seconds into the match down in Kingston, we struggled the rest of the way, and I expected more out of this team. One thing that this team has essentially lacked for most of qualifying has been Landon Donovan. I mean, you can't replicate someone like him. For all of the criticism that he takes, we don't have, when I say we, I mean the United States. The U.S. not getting emotional, it's my voice, doesn't have
emotional.
A player with the capability. You could pass, create, and score goals, and that's hurt. And saying that about Klinsmann's system, I just don't think it's taken yet. I hope, for his sake and the team's sake, it clicks on Friday and beyond. but we just haven't seen it yet. Okay. And I wasn't critical of Klinsmann coming on back in August of 2011. I said, okay, let's see what he can do. I'm still waiting.
My thought is this. So you can bring the best coach in the world over here, and they can make a system. But if you don't have the horses, you know, you don't win the race. And so my question to you is this. Yes, Landon Donovan is the essential player, and we know his capability and his worth. But could is there anyone else? Why isn't Hercule Gomez, Jose Altidor, those guys? I mean, they are doing... They're pretty good.
Yeah, like you need more than just one star offensive player. You need a crew. Yeah,
well, that's what I mean. I mean,
a support crew.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, Altidore is a forward. Gomez is a forward. What they do for their club teams and sometimes for the national team is very, very good. But games are won and lost in the midfield. And, you know, Michael Bradley, very hardworking midfielder, an important part of the team, no doubt about it. One of those impact players that you need, that the U.S. needs. But we don't have that offensive player in the middle who's bold enough to take an opposition, an opposing defender one-on-one, or make that bold pass besides Donovan. And that's what we're lacking. And I don't see anyone coming up to replace him. You have good players, but nothing outstanding. It's going to be a lot of... If this team wins without Donovan, it's going to be a lot of hard work, more and not necessarily incredible talent. They've got talent, but it's going to take more than that.
Well, Michael, the CONCACAF qualifying starts 5 p.m. on Friday. Honduras, the leaders right now, take on Mexico at home. It should be a very interesting match. If Honduras can somehow get a victory over the Tricolores, it's going to turn this whole hexagonal upside down. And then we have Jamaica in the office at 9:30 against Panama. U.S. will host Costa Rica. It's on ESPN starting at 10:11 in the evening from Colorado. By the way, Honduras, Mexico is on Telemundo, so it's Time Warner Channel 17. So it's going to be a great day of qualifying, and I'm looking forward to it. And just have to see what Klinsmann can come up with. It might turn out to be we need a 4-3 game where our forwards who are top of the line right now are going to put the ball in the back of the net, and we just outscore Costa Rica. We'll see what happens.
I would not be surprised about that at all.
Well, Michael, thanks so much for being with us. I know you're a bit under the weather, and enjoy the matches, and we'll talk again next week.
Get better, Mike.
Hey, my pleasure. Great news about the Hall of Fame. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll go to Dick Howard up in Toronto. We'll get the international report, more previews of World Cup qualifying in Europe. Next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Abby Wambach. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Your first chance to see the 2013 Rochester Rhinos is this week at Salem Stadium. The Rhinos kick off their preseason Thursday evening at 7:30 against Kinesis College, and on Sunday, USL Pro League rival the Pittsburgh Riverhounds come to town for a 3 p.m. afternoon contest. Both matches are free and open to the public. Rhinos season tickets, flex packs, and Rhinos parking passes are now on sale and can be purchased by calling the Rhinos office at 454-KICK or by visiting the Rhinos website at www.rhinosoccer.com. Don't miss out on all the exciting action. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
There's a car accident in this country every 5 seconds.
That's why Allstate thinks it's time for an entirely different kind of car insurance, with features like accident forgiveness and a safe driving bonus. It's called Your Choice Auto, and it's only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today at 244-2130. Features are optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kuja Kuj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
The best just got better. The three-time women's soccer champion Western New York Flash will be starting their first season in the NWSL in just a few weeks. The Flash will be led by the current FIFA Women's Player of the Year, Rochester's Abby Wambach, and two-time Olympic gold medalist Carly Lloyd. Your first chance to see the 2013 Flash at Salem Stadium is Sunday, April 7th at 12 noon in a friendly match against the defending NCAA champion North Carolina Tar Heels. Western New York Flash season ticket holders and Flex 11 ticket holders will have free admission to the match. General admission tickets can be purchased for $10 by calling 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship Team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
And our international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Common in Pittsburgh. Number to call, 248-2650, or go to topnotchmonogramming.com. Visit Tony and Michelle. Get ready for this Friday's big World Cup qualifying. U.S. soccer gear available at Top Notch Monogramming. Good evening, Dick. How are you doing?
Oh, guys, it's all happening on WYSL tonight, isn't it?
It certainly is.
It's just great.
And hopefully, knock on wood, someday we will see the Soccer Hall of Fame here in Rochester.
We're rocking the house.
Rocking the house, yep. Well, Dick, before we get to UEFA World Cup qualifying, tell us about the match Montreal and Toronto. What an atmosphere. What a great match. And Montreal, top of MLS right now. How about that?
And it certainly was a game that was not lacking in atmosphere. Unfortunately, TFC went off the boil in the first half and they were down 2-0, but they came back in the second half and made it 2-1. Very good game. Close to 5,000 fans travel to Montreal from Toronto. And, of course, with the hometown fans, it was close to 40,000 that were in attendance in the Big O. But great atmosphere. I think Montreal just had the edge in the game. But as I've mentioned before, with this TFC team, it's really work in progress and players are almost arriving on a daily basis. And they're looking at three or four more additions over the next few weeks. So it's a good performance. It's certainly not the result that the coach wants from the game, but it was a good one to watch.
Were you there, Dick?
No, I didn't make the trip. I was tempted, but all the buses were taken up. The train, there was no room on the trains. The flights were all booked. It really was. The only way you could go is to drive, and it's a bit of a long drive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you that Andrew is switching gear a little bit. Andrew is very, very pleased that his hero played a full game and he almost scored a goal. He could have won the game.
Yeah, well, Bex did his best, but Paris Saint-Germain only got a 2-2 draw. But let's leave Bex aside now. We have World Cup qualifying to talk about. And looking at the slate of games, Dick, really, there isn't a lot of really marquee matchups. The two that really stuck out for me on Friday, certainly something you and Dick and you and Joe and myself know about, Croatia and Serbia. When those two teams play, it is a war, and Serbia really needs a win because Croatia's up at top of Group A right now.
Yeah, it's certainly the case. 33 games on Friday, and then another 51 games over the next 3-4 days. And we would do a show here in Toronto on Rogers Sportsnet called The Road to Rio, and yes, we do have that game between Croatia and Serbia from Zagreb, which has got a lot of attention, of course, because of the great rivalry, two passionate sets of fans, and as you rightly mentioned, Croatia having the edge in the standings in Group A, so Serbia certainly need a win in that game, but it will be a game that will not be lacking in atmosphere, that is for sure.
I hope they have a strong referee.
Well, that's going to be a question. I think he's a Turkish official for that game, and we'll see what transpires, but it's certainly a game that Serbia have to win, because in that group, I've been very impressed, as I'm sure you guys have. They've got a guy from Chelsea playing for Belgium who's quite a useful player, I think.
And he'll be coming to the United States on May 29th. The U.S. will be facing Belgium in Cleveland, Ohio. Heard about Eden Hazard, of course. And, of course, one of your favorite players from Everton is also a Belgian international and very recognizable.
Yes, very recognizable. I think they sold more bonnets with his hairpiece than anything else. He's certainly been quite the player for Everton this football season.
Bellini, yep. And the other matchup I wanted to mention just real quick before we have to break for the end of the show is whenever the two home countries meet of the UK, it's a war. Scotland against Wales. Again, same group, Group A, and both teams really need a win.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at that game, obviously the being played in Glasgow gives a slight edge to Scotland, but Wales have this man Bale, and he's having such an exceptional season that the Scots have got to find a way to control him. Otherwise, it's going to be game over. Both teams, though, are at the bottom of the standings in Group A, so I don't see them progressing too far. But as you rightly mentioned, you know, there's a few interesting games. The first game we do on Friday, actually, is from Ramadan, is the Israel-Portugal game, which, you know, Russia look as though they're going to run away with Group F, but Israel and Portugal are neck and neck, and it'll be an important game for Israel. They can't afford to lose it. Against Cristiano Ronaldo and company.
Yeah, and Joe will be relaxing on Thursday to watch Italy against Brazil, so that should be a very fun match.
But nice match.
Dick, we're running out of time. Thanks so much for joining us again, as always. We appreciate everything.
Okay, guys.
And we'll talk
and congratulations. You got Hank Steinbrecher on. You know he's in 6 Halls of Fame, an iconic figure in U.S. soccer, and a great man, and it's a great initiative. Hopefully it'll come across with the Hall of Fame coming to Rochester.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate you being on. Talk to you next week.
Guys.
Dick Howard here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. We want to thank Dick and Michael Lewis, of course, and Al in the studio, Al Schneider. Thanks for coming on.
I loved
thank
it.
You, and, of course, Charlie Schiano, the host emeritus of Soccer is the Kick in the Grass, and our special guest, Hank Steinbrecher. And we'll see what happens with the Hall of Fame. It's going to be a work in progress, but if it can come to Rochester, that'd be fantastic. Don't forget the
Rhinos.
We're
going to get it.
Thursday, 7:30 at the stadium against Canisius. Sunday at 3 o'clock against Pittsburgh. Both matches are free. This has been Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, Mike, and Bob D'Angelo here at WYSL. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, the Rochester Lancers, and Western New York Flash, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Salen's Meat Products, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.